Hey guys, quick announcement. I have another Zoom Diner coming up this week, January 7th, 7:30 Eastern Time. I will be workshopping and trying out new material with Nori Davis and Matthew Burchard. Always a fun show. It's Pay What You Can. You can find tickets at lizmealy.com. Yay! Hey everybody, welcome to Two Non-Doctors. I'm Liz Mealy.
I'm Maria Shahada. We are stand-up comedians.
Stand-up comedians that are currently jobless because of the coronavirus.
We're finally going to be the doctors our mothers wanted us to be.
Is there anything that we don't know?
A lot, actually. We have a lot of questions. We have a lot of answers.
All of them wrong.
But we do have access to...
Google.
And a vet.
Oh yeah, my mom's a vet. She knows some stuff. We have to do this.
So every once in a while, we're going to invite her on. No, we don't. We're going to actually use this. Welcome to Two Non-Doctors.
Wipe my nose. Hi. Welcome to Two Non-Doctors. I'm Liz Mealy.
I'm Maria Shahada.
How you doing? I like for a second forgot how we do this. I'm like, what do we do here? Oh, yeah.
I know. It's just been like a few days longer than normal because of Christmas, but... Do you know that song, Mr. Sandman?
Yeah.
Like, Johnny started singing it, like, Mr. Sandman. Yeah. And then, well, he didn't sing it, like, I just made him sing it. Like, I don't know how it came up. I don't know if he sang it or I sang it, actually. And then, like, and then I went, yes. And he was like, what? And I was like, what? He was like, what was that? And I was like, that's how I, that's, you know, they go, Mr. Sandman, yes. And he was like, no, it doesn't. And I was like, what? And I was like, I was like, did I make that up? And so I went to go listen to the song and we listened to the first two stanzas or whatever. And it didn't. And I was like, I've made that up.
The whole time.
And I was like, nah, I didn't make that. And then I Googled the lyrics and then people were like, who sings yes in Mr. Sandman? I was like, exactly. And it's in the third stanza. So if we just listened for like 10 more seconds, it would have been there.
That does make sense. I would assume that it's like the thing that comes out immediately because you're introducing Mr. Sandman. So in your mind, you're just like, well, he has to respond immediately. So the fact that he doesn't show up until like the third stance is a little...
It's like, why wouldn't he come into the first one? I wonder if it's because like, then would he have to keep coming in? Like, yes. Yeah. What? How can I help you?
Yeah.
Like we want a guy who has hair of Liberace. And like, they get really like more demanding as the song goes.
Is it just them describing what they want in a man?
Yeah. Cause it's like, it's not about dreams. Like bring me a nice dream. It's like, and then it, I think it might start that way, but then it becomes, we want this guy. And then like, they start ordering a man through this Mr. Sandman guy who's probably like
the Amazon of his time.
Yeah, like, well, I'm not gonna bring you a dude. Like, that's not what I'm here for. I could bring you a dream.
I remember so clearly, God, this is when you lived in LA, so probably what, like at least 5 years ago, 6 years ago, it was a Kanye West Jay-Z song, and they would kind of, you know, they're rapping back and forth and they're talking, but like he would be like, turn it, he would, or maybe it was just a Kanye song, but he was like, turn it up. And you're like, oh, okay. Like there was always my favorite part about driving.
Turn my headphones up. And I was like, oh, right. Okay.
Like you had like a whole like routine that had to do with the song. Like you were like, you know, cause like all these songs sometimes like talk to the producers or they have this like behind the scenes, but I always loved that you took on the producer aspect. You're just like, oh, sorry. Yeah, I get that. Like, So when you did say that, you're like, did I make it up? I'm like, yeah, I think she could.
I could have, but that's why it scared me because I was like, that's so something I would do.
Yeah, when did this start?
But it's such a weird thing to be like, yes, like, I don't know. So yeah, I did that with I think it was like a Ludacris song or something. He was like, where's the waitress at with my drinks? I was like, I'm coming, I'm busy.
I'm doing the best. I've been on my feet for 6 hours. God.
Come in here flashing money around expecting you to drop everything. Well, you know what, everybody here's a high roller, Ludacris, so
yeah you fucking respect the staff. Don't you see the sign? We're people. Oh my God, I love that. Yeah, no, that's one of the things I've always enjoyed about even old songs that come up. If you introduce me to the song, I know the Maria version of the song. There's Maria version, so I was just like, you might be right. You'll appreciate my story. There's a fan of mine. Actually, I became a fan of hers and she became a fan back. So we're mutual fans. I don't want to put her in a bubble. She makes beautiful, I don't even know, like glass stuff, like glass things that would go in your window. Her name's Daylight Glassware. I think that's her handle on Instagram. Beautiful glassware. So I wanted to make something special for my mom. So me and my sister decided to get something made by her. Makes this thing beautiful. And it's 9 days before Christmas. And she goes, should I send it? And I had told her, I was like, I'm not sure if you should send it to me or my sister. I should have had her send it to my sister who doesn't live too far from my mom. But I was like, it's 9 days and she's sending it priority, and priority's 2 to 3 days. We have 9 days. Fast forward, it's been 8 days and the tracking number just says running late. No other information. It's somewhere in New York and it just says running late. So I'm like freaking out. I'm just like, come on, man. Like, and it's not her fault. It's clearly not the woman that made its fault. That's, I mean, it's 100% the US Postal Service, but I'm freaking out because we've had stuff stolen in our lobby and then also it's glass and I don't want it and we're leaving. And I'm freaking out. Like, I'm having a hard time, like, keeping my composure. So I'm just, like, trying to figure out what my options are online. Nothing is helpful. I mean, the U.S. Postal Service website is slightly more helpful than being at the U.S. Postal Service. It just, right. It's a lot of information that explains nothing. You know when they just repeat stuff back to you? You're like, hey, is this going to get there? And they're like, that's what it says. And you're like, okay, but I'm asking a human. And I thought maybe you could give me a human response. So anyway, I call the U.S. Postal Service. I'm on hold for 2.5 hours. Like, you know when you just take something and you're like, you're making it more, I'm just getting more and more upset as it goes on, where I'm just like, so I'm freaking out. Finally, I get a woman on the phone and she was like, yeah, I have the information you have. She's like, it's somewhere in New York. I don't know when it's going to get to you. It's probably not. And I needed it the next day before I left. She's like, it's probably not going to get to you tomorrow. And I go, well, what are my options? Because I don't want it to leave it here. And she goes, I don't know. I guess maybe put your mail on hold and then they'll hold it at the post office. And I was like, okay. I mean, I'd rather it be safe. At this point, I don't care that it's late. And then I go, it's $15 for it to arrive in 2 to 3 days. And it's 9 days. Is there like a refund or like, and she's like, no. And I'm like, why am I trying to save you?
Yeah.
Like, I bought so many stamps. Like, everybody for the last year is like, save the post office, save the post office. And I'm like, you're the worst. You guys are the worst in the entire United States. The DMV, at least you get a license afterwards. Do you know, I was just so fucking mad. And I was like mulling over my head. And of course, I'm very nice to her. I'm a very nice person. But I'm like ranting around the apartment like a mad woman. I'm like, do you see? Look at this. Look at all these stamps. Every time I went to the post office, I got stamps, Maria. Stamps. Mm-hmm. Stamps. Look at all these stamps. Do you see the cycle part of this? I have so many stamps because you know what? I was like, I'm gonna save the post office. And now it burns to the ground. So this is my logic though. Follow me on this. You know how like we started going to Europe, you now live there. You know how we started going to Europe and we were like kind of realized that like customer service just isn't a thing there, like at all. Like nobody really cares about you. And I started to realize the only reason to keep the postal service is so that when you go to Europe or another country, you're ready. You're like, oh, they don't give a shit about me. I'm anywhere in Sweden is like being at the post office in the United States. I have been training for this moment of being not important. I'm crazy right now. But that's,
no, you're not crazy. But what you are doing is going postal, and that is. That's a phrase for a reason. They infuriate people.
But I thought going postal was the postal worker shooting up. Remember like in the, because going postal was like a 90s term, but I always thought it was the postal worker just losing their goddamn mind and taking out on people. But is it people at the post office? Because if it is, I relate to them.
No, I think it started with a worker, but then it also grew to encompass people at the post office. It's just something about the post office. It does to people. They go nuts.
Oh my God. And I found
it's out. It's not any different over here.
Yes, but nothing, but it doesn't matter where you go in the UK. Nobody is like, we're known for customer service, whether you go to a T-Mobile or you go to an Applebee's or you know what I mean? Or you go to a bodega. For the most part, you train people because we're all about, capitalism and the customer is always right. And don't get me wrong, there's tons of problems with that as well. But we've made it that customer service is so important because money is so important. So we are used to good customer service. But when it comes to government, like the DMV, and that's why everybody complains about the DMV and the post office, because they can't lose their jobs. And because there is some stability and it has nothing to do with customer service because it's government work, they don't have to be like, what can I do? Let's solve that problem. You know what? We're going to give you a discount. Like, there's no trying to satiate or fix a problem, because they don't need to fix a problem. So there's just this part of me that is just feeling so insane for, like, it says 2 to 3 days. That's why it's more expensive. 2 to 3 days. And it took I think 13 days. So it's just like, what do we do? Like, that's a regular letter. Like, that's $5. Like, that's where it just, like,
makes. No, I get it. Cause the same thing happened with Amazon. Remember how I was, like, infuriated that it was, like, supposed to be in a certain window, and they were like, oh, someone else took it. And I was like, well, and they were like, do you want it in the next window or do you want a discount? I was like, I want both. Like, I should have gotten it in one window.
But you got options. That's the funny thing, is Amazon gives you options, because Amazon is about solving problems and making people happy. And clearly they have more money than the post office.
I didn't mean discount. Sorry. I meant refund. Like, it's either we'll give you your money back or we'll deliver it to you in the next window. But yes.
Yeah. I want all of it. And yeah. The post office is like, it might not even show up.
Yeah.
I forget whose joke it is. Somebody has a joke about the post office being the only place that you pay more money to guarantee it gets there. Like, just sending it doesn't guarantee that your thing's going to show up. You have to pay more money. So they're like, okay, we're going to deliver yours. Like, I don't know whose statement that is, but it is. It's like, I know my feelings aren't unique, but it made me laugh so hard that I waited 2.5 hours to talk to a woman that had no extra information than I did. And then I was like, is there like a rebate or like a refund? And she's like, no, like there's no trying to like, even there was no, I'm sorry. There's no, whatever.
Take it up with someone, bitch. We don't care.
Yeah. You know that thing when somebody's like, I want to talk to your manager, and she's like, I am the manager. Like, I'm still waiting for her to be like, oh, sweetheart, he cares even less than I do.
Yeah. I actually had a package stuck in Germany or something, or it might be because France closed its borders to the UK because we have this new strain of COVID. What? And then, yeah. And, so there were a bunch of truck drivers that got stuck in the like coming into the UK. So there was like gridlocked, but they've been there for, I think, like a week, and it was supposed
just
to
clear stuck up. In traffic.
Yeah. They were supposed to clear up in just a couple of days. Like, France was only supposed to keep it closed for like 2 days, but it's caused a week of like gridlock. So a lot of lorry drivers weren't even, they call them lorries. A lot of truck drivers weren't even coming into the UK because they didn't want to get stuck in it. But, you know, I read this morning in the Guardian about one of the drivers who had been stuck there for like a week, and you know, like they're out there giving sandwiches to people because they can't go anywhere.
They're gridlocked. They're stuck.
Like, the government's out there giving them ham and cheese sandwiches, and like they're like, the bathroom facilities are disgusting. Hmm. And I'm like, so I'm sorry, am I not getting my Christmas present on time?
My favorite part of the story is I was like so invested. I was like, this is horrible. Like, you were a newscaster, and then you're like, oh, I'm sorry, this is Maria. The news is I'm not getting my stuff.
Yeah.
It'd actually be really funny if there was some kind of like way that you could call your guy. You're like, what can I get you so that I can get my package? Like, what do you need? Do you need a blanket? You want a blanket?
Yeah. But apparently it's in Germany right now anyway. It's just like, well, fly it over.
What are we doing?
What's you're not even stuck. But I was supposed to get it on the 23rd for Christmas, and I don't know when I'm going to get it, and I don't know when I'm going to be home next. So.
Oh, post offices. I get that our packages are not important.
No.
But don't make empty promises. Stop making empty promises.
Especially when you pay for it.
You know what it is? I also think because of COVID and being stuck indoors, like food, like I feel like an animal, like food and packages. I don't care if I'm buying vitamins, the same vitamins I get every month. Like, I'm just like, someone's at the door. A gift that I bought 2 days ago on Amazon. I'm like,
yeah,
like it's just the only thing that gets me out of bed. Should we get into our announcements?
Yeah.
Patreons, you guys are the best. Thank you for everybody that is given to our Patreon. As you know, we have tons of bonus. We do a bonus every month. We do extended interviews. We have stickers. We have early access. You can control our Googles. You can come on and be a guest Google. Tons of benefits. So Patreon.com/2nondoctors.
We've reached over 1,000 followers on Instagram. Thank you all for following us. We were really stoked about that. So
yeah, Christmas miracle. You guys were like,
we really came through for us. Cause what, we were like 20 short of 1,000. We're like, hey, we just need a few more followers to reach 1,000. And then we got like way over 1,000. It was really
good. And you guys felt us, you felt like we needed your connection and you're like, I can do this. We're very excited.
Yeah. And so follow us on Instagram at @2nondrs and follow us on the rest of the socials, including YouTube at @2nondoctors / and the number 2.
Yeah.
Okay. Fan mail?
Yeah.
This comes from an email from Lake Ham4. Hi guys. I subscribe to your podcast on Patreon and I enjoy them very much. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
The reason I wanted to write was I do something that might help Maria's sinus problem. Every morning I put a small amount of coconut oil on a Q-tip and coat the inside of each nostril with the oil. I started doing this because I work outside and was using coconut oil on my skin to repel insects like mosquitoes and greenhead flies. I noticed that the odor going into my sinus would cause them to open up and feel better. So I started to stick my nose near the tub I use and breathe in deeply, and sure enough, it worked even better. I then figured out if I coated the inside of my nose, I got the most effect. If I am congested, then I will do it at night also. I also found coconut oil is great for sore throats as well. I put a small amount into my mouth and let it dissolve and just run down my throat to coat it. It doesn't taste great, but not horrible either. And it not only reduces the discomfort, but it seems to cause it to heal faster. That's awesome, because I did try it a little bit, but I'm afraid of sticking things up my nose or coating my nose with it. I did try it around because I was blowing my nose so much,
it started my nostrils to get raw, right?
Hurt. Yeah, it hurt. So I put a little coconut oil and it actually ended up feeling a lot better just from that. So
it's an extreme moisturizer. Like when my skin's really, really bad, I'll put coconut oil on my skin.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. And I've used coconut oil for, remember when I killed my hair by dyeing it blonde?
Oh yeah.
I used it to try to rebuild the protein and stuff. Protein. Anyway, but yeah, I will try coating it next time I'm stuffy, coating the inside of my nose. I was afraid. It's like baby steps for me. It's like, just put it around the edge of it and then I'll go in a little bit. And then maybe eventually, maybe this time next year, I'm just shoving.
Cause it's like two cotton balls and you're just like, I soak them in coconut oil. Then I shove them, I pack them in there. Yeah. And then I don't need to breathe. It's actually, yeah.
And then I sneeze and I get that shit everywhere.
Yeah. I feel like coconut oil is just like, I mean, you know me, I discovered it with the paleo diet years ago. And then next thing I know, I'm reading all about it and it's everything. Like in general, half the stuff that I put on my body is coconut scent.
Yeah.
Cause you know, it's something gets in the zeitgeist and then just eventually is all coconut flavor or whatever, but I like it. So my lotion's coconut. I think I was putting, like I said, coconut on my skin when it got, especially winter times when it got really bad, but then it's supposed to be just healing. And then of course you can put it in your hair. We might've talked about it in an earlier episode. They say you're not, I used to cook with it and they say you're not supposed to cook with it anymore. So I don't cook with it anymore.
Really?
Yeah. To me, are eggs good for you? Or are they bad for you? These kind of things where it's always, bless you, my child. I know you muted yourself. I can't not watch you literally fling from a sneeze off camera.
Oh, God
bless you. Do I have a mute button? Oh, I do have a mute button. That's the whole point of Zoom, is there's a mute button. Aw,
I'm using my microphone's mute button.
Yeah, but you know what? I've done so many aggressive sneezes on here and I just realized, oh, you're dying. Okay.
Give me 2 seconds.
I need
to fix this.
Yeah, I see that. Go do what you gotta do. Nothing I was saying is important. I was just saying that in general, I used it on everything. And then I stopped with cooking with it because it was that people started to be like, you shouldn't cook with it, and did this obsession. I remember reading one article that's just don't cook with it. If you're going to use it on your skin. That's the best way to use it. So I do.
Just put oil on yourself.
Yeah. Why are you buying products?
Yeah.
You can just be slimy and adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, we should thank Lake Ham 4.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. My Google is probably just almost a recycled one from earlier in the pandemic because I'm not moving, but I was can less movement cause knee pain? Before it was not moving caused back pain. And it was yes. And I was can that be transferred to your knee? I was like, please let me know. What's interesting about it, so basically what happened is I had like 2 days that it was like super cold here. Clearly I had nowhere to go and I truly did not move. And out of nowhere, my knee is on fire. Like it hurts to lay down. It's like, it doesn't really hurt to like walk or run because I have run on it, but it hurts. Like if I sit too long, clearly in this chair, it starts to hurt. If I'm laying down, it wakes me up in the middle of the night. And it's been like this for 2 weeks. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like, this is ridiculous. So it does say lack of movement can make the joints more painful and stiff, and keeping your muscle and surrounding tissue strong is crucial to maintaining support for your bones. So not exercising weakens those support muscles, creating more stress on your joints. So from what I understand, just sitting like this, everything kind of gets like stiff and tight, so that when you do get up, everything is, and it just, it's like, I think it's like the description is like an old rubber band. So it's just like, because you weren't being, you know, you weren't keeping it, everything moist and flexy and whatever, it just sits there, it starts to rot. So when you do, it's just like, grah.
Yeah.
So, but what I don't understand is like, and I guess truly I'm not moving a lot, is like, okay, so it hurt. And then I've gone on some runs. I'm trying to walk every day. Like they tell you not to shy away from the pain and to keep moving and doing stuff, but I'm moving and doing stuff, clearly not to the extent I was over the summer or in our previous life, but like, I don't, and this knee has always been a knee that's caused problems. What'll happen sometimes is on a flight, I'll get a shooting pain in this knee. So like, if I'll be on a long flight to like LA or something, I'll literally wake up on the plane, like almost wanting to scream. And it's like this ghosty pain that comes out of nowhere, even though my knee hasn't hurt.
Where on your kneecap is the pain?
Right above my knee.
I always get pain underneath my kneecap, like just under it. If I do get knee pain, it'll do that and it'll be out of nowhere. And then suddenly I can't go downstairs and then it'll just go away.
That one, I don't know. The one about it being above the knee, I do know because it's clearly connected to your hamstrings, and that it does hurt to go downstairs. Like the control, like that's the thing. Squatting, like I was with my niece and nephews this weekend, and like squatting down to their level. Like I really was like an old lady. I was like, oh, Christ, Jesus. Like,
yeah.
So I also injured this knee. I was doing CrossFit 4 days a week, you know, in our previous life. And then I went and ran a half marathon I didn't train for. And I took 2 days off, even though I was super sore, and I went right back into CrossFit. And my body was like, are you insane? And I had the worst knee pain. I got like a knee brace. I mean, it took about over a month to heal from that. And I feel like it's never been the same again, because I just did too much at my old age and my body has been... So I don't know. I don't know if this is like residual from how I heard it before. And like, again, everything got tight from not moving, but I haven't solved my problem. I'm going to try to go for more walks. And then also it almost makes me think like it got colder too. Is this all because it got colder? Am I a cow now? Can I predict the weather? Like,
yeah. I mean, obviously it affects your joints a lot. That's why a lot of old people move down to Florida, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And it just in general, so remember when we had the Google about the leg warmers, and they actually have a purpose for like, yes, ballerinas and stuff. Like my mom was even telling me like that sleeve, she like maybe should wear it before your runs. Cause in general it just keeps it warm, and that's the biggest
thing. I do think there's something to that.
What's your Google?
What's up with Kevin Spacey's lips?
What?
It's my favorite. That's why I don't write my Google in the Google Docs, is because your reaction's always great. Like every year for the past 3 years on Christmas Eve, he's released a video. They've been weird, and like he'll do them in his like Frank Underwood character, and I think they're both called Let Me Be Frank, and he addresses camera, and like it's weird, but it's also like interesting to watch. And I want, you know, Johnny and I were waiting for this year's to come out, and it did. He did release a video on Christmas Eve, but it wasn't in Frank Underwood's character. It was I'm not saying like I like Kevin Spacey, they're just so weird that it is something,
and oddly like tone deaf for
Yeah, it's like in the way Johnny put it, it's like he's been made to be a villain, so it's almost like he's leaned into it. And it was like,
he played a lot of villains too.
Yes.
You know, you wonder sometimes when an actor is so seamlessly good at a certain type of character.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like he's been telling us the whole time. And so he released a video, but this one was like more serious, and he didn't do it in character, and it was about it was an It Gets Better video, basically. But he was speaking to camera like really, really close. And then he had red dots on his lips. And then I think it felt like it extended into his cheek. It was almost like he'd been poked with a needle on his lips and his cheek a little bit. And I was like, so I Googled what's up with Kevin Spacey's lips, hoping someone else picked up on that. And not really. The only thing that came up was a Vulture article that noticed the same things I did. But the last sentence is, what's going on with Spacey's lip? Which is annoying because it doesn't get answered. I'm like, yes, okay, so you noticed it too. Let me see if I can show you a picture. But
I need to see a picture. What I find interesting about your Google is that you're everything, and I know you already felt like all the you know, this guy's been outed. He's taken no responsibility. He just wants probably his old life back. And you're like, is he doing some cosmetic thing? Like, what is he doing? Like, he has access to probably all the makeup. So why didn't he put makeup on that? Like,
I don't even think you can. It's on his lips. It's like on the inner part, like a little bit. Like, you could still.
How old is Kevin Spacey?
50s?
No, he's got to be older.
You can cut. Well, it's going to be hard to show you. It's almost like you should watch the video. There's like, you can see one dot there, like one or two.
Yeah.
But they're red dots. And almost like it could be herpes or something.
He's 61.
His lips just look weird. So, but the internet didn't know, and I still don't think they know. I don't think anyone else is talking about it but me.
What I find interesting is, yeah, I don't think anybody's talking about his video in general, other than the bizarreness of it. And you're just like, he might have health problems, and we need to figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Kevin Spacey, let us know what's wrong with you. Please write in, Kevin. okay. Let's get personal.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a silly one, but my question is, what's your favorite holiday?
Let's list them. Valentine's Day? No.
No.
Halloween? No.
Yes.
Halloween's your favorite. Okay, that's your okay.
Halloween's my favorite.
Hold on to Liz's.
You just fell into it, and you're just like passing it by, like it isn't just somebody giving me what I think about most days.
I just imagine you getting buckets of candy as a kid, and then it's like the same as if you were a casino, and then you just saw like cherry upon cherry upon cherry upon cherry upon cherry. It's just like ding ding ding, and all these coins keep coming out. That's you with like candy just being thrown at you, and you're like, yay.
We clearly know I have a sweet tooth, and of course I more and more try to get away from like conventional candy because it's just like the worst for you. Although whenever Reese's go on sale, I'm just like,
especially when they're trees or they're Easter eggs.
Exactly. And I don't, even as an adult, I don't dress up. That's not where my creativity lies. Like I'm not I barely did it as a kid. I wasn't really a crafty kid dresser upper. And then as a teenager, I still went trick or treating, but I was like, I'll just dress up as a boy. Like I was like doing the least possible work to get candy. And I always looked really young. And then now I don't really enjoy the parties. I like looking at other people's costumes. I genuinely love seeing little kids dressed up and seeing people be adults do really crafty things with costumes, but I've never done anything crafty with a costume. I just love how much candy is just readily available. Like you go to an audition and it's on the table and I'm like, can I have this? Like yeah. I'm somebody that has their own money and I'm like, can I have this free stuff? Are you doing anything with that candy? Is that for everybody? I don't know. I love the nature of it that clearly I don't have a place where kids could go trick or treating, but if I did, I would love to like give out candy and I would definitely try to be the house that would have the big candy bars. So everybody would be like, you got to go to this house. They got the best stuff. I don't have to do anything. Like, you know, we just had Christmas and it's too much work, too much pressure.
Yeah.
If you either have to like get a big gift or get engaged, like it's just too much. It's too much.
So
Halloween's mine, clearly. We stumbled on it. Valentine's Day is for nobody.
Thanksgiving's fun because lots of food. That's cool.
I could see you liking Thanksgiving. Okay, then there's New Year's Eve.
I like New Year's Eve, but like somebody the other day, and I should have retweeted it, but like they were like, if you're going to miss New Year's Eve, just get a bunch of club soda, put a drop of vodka in it, take $300 out of the ATM, and then put it down the garbage disposal. It was so perfect. But I do like New Year's Eve. I like winter and lights and being with people. And New Year's Eve encompasses all of that. I don't like the pressure of going out at night. I do like having shows on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that's a lot of fun because I have a purpose and I'm out and I'm around people, but I'm not just.
And people are grateful for you making their evening, like, because you took the pressure off their evening. They're going to see entertainment, and then it takes the pressure off you because you're like, I'm working, and we all know we make the best money on that night. But I've done a couple traditional New Year's Eves, and I'm like, I like working on New Year's Eve. That's what I want to be doing.
So what does that leave? St. Patrick's Day? I don't care about that. I actually like hate St. Patrick's Day.
No, I mean, neither of us are Irish, but I don't like any of the.
I just want to say it's not because of the Irish.
I'm not saying fuck the Irish. I'm truly just saying like, you know, it's not our heritage. It's like, you know what I mean? When people get really into Cinco de Mayo and you're just like, you're from Sweden. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Your ancestors are the whitest people I've ever seen. You just like drinking, Mark.
Mark.
So, you know, 4th of July. I do.
No, I hate the 4th of July. And I hate that the fireworks go on like a week before and a week after, at least.
Yeah. I like a good barbecue, though. I love somebody else making my lunch.
I could see that. I could see, because you have a fun 4th of July tradition. I don't have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll go New Year's Eve, I guess. Something feels off about that. So I like gifts on Christmas. I don't know. What a hard question.
I know. It seemed really simple, but it's, you know what it is? It's because there's too much. It's like, there's almost like an equation, like the amount of joy minus how much pressure, you know, equals how hungover you are. You know what I mean? Like, I just, there's a part of me, like, and I don't drink for any of these. So, you know, clearly I don't like any real drinking holidays because I feel left out. And then I'm always like up early and I'm like, I'm the person that like after New Year's Eve is like, so we're going to start running now? Or are we going to start getting fit now? And people are like, no, everybody knows it starts January 3rd. Like, you psychopath.
Yeah. I like that about New Year's Day, the starting over, starting fresh, quitting smoking, good habits again. Like, I like that kind of reset. I like having a new calendar. That's it. New Year's Day is my favorite.
We figured it out.
I love a new calendar.
This is my new calendar.
One of our upcoming Google guests was like, I'm going to put you in my new 2021 calendar. And I was like, I get that. I get like the excitement of entering things into a new calendar.
I'm very excited. And this one starts a couple days before. So like, we're taping this on a Sunday, but like, it's still December and it's in a Monday. And I'm like, oh, I get to start my new calendar a couple days before the new year. So exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, ooh. I love a new calendar. I love this idea of starting over, even like, clearly 2020 was garbage. So there's, even though we know it's going to be more garbage, but like, there is something like new, we're all new people. It's a new year. It's going to be a new president. Everything's new. That's actually a very good point. I don't think I've ever enjoyed New Year's Eve, but I do think I enjoy New Year's Day.
Yeah. If I'm not super hungover, which I won't be this year, hopefully, knock on wood.
But also the good news for New Year's Day is that if you're not hungover, you're up, you feel good, you're ready to start your new life, and you kind of already feel better than everybody.
It's time to write that book.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, I still stick with Halloween though, but I think you're right that New Year's Day is a close second because it's new beginnings.
Yeah.
Our new life.
Yeah.
I think we solved something here.
Absolutely.
All right, you ready for topic?
Yeah.
Okay, topic this week, also one of our weirder ones, but I'm kind of excited. Cuffing season.
Nice.
This was you. You're the one that put this on our list. I didn't know what cuffing season was until like a couple of months ago. Cause you know, I don't know how your brain works, but somebody will say something. And because I'm like dyslexic, I'll be like, maybe I don't know what that word is. And I don't want to feel stupid. So I'm just not going to ask. And then I wait until it comes up a couple of times. And then I start to do the Google and I'm guessing because I don't think I even heard it as cuffing. So C-U-F-F-I-N-G. I think I probably heard it as cutting season. I probably heard it as a various different things. And then finally I was like, cuffing, or I saw it in a tweet or something. And then you do the research and you're like, oh, is that what that is? Like, it truly was like, it was around me, but I was too scared.
Do you want to tell everyone what it is?
I'm going to get there. But baby, I'm building suspense, Maria.
I was like, but it was, why is a podcast? It's not like it's a thriller movie.
I also assume everybody knows what it is, but me. But basically, it's the season between October and March when people start to kind of get into relationships because it's like getting colder. And you just, you know, you need somebody to
snuggle. You want someone to cuddle with, yeah.
Yeah, and also, like, who's leaving the house that much? I feel like this has probably been one of the harder cuffing seasons for people because, like...
They've been cuffing all the year.
Yeah, or if you fucked up your cuffing season last year and you're either still with that person and you didn't intend to continue to be with that person, or you're no longer with that person and there's no way to really cuff this year because nobody's around each other. But yeah, it's just people start to be extremely motivated to get into relationships because we're hibernating. This is our hibernation. But it literally, so it comes from the literal idea of being handcuffed to somebody. Great season, great name. As soon as I read that, I was like, that's not what relationships are supposed to be about.
Like, the old ball and chain.
Yeah, it was just very like, and then it entered the Urban Dictionary in 2011, but it didn't start to be like thrown around like it is now until like 2013. It still was until 2020 that I was like, what's everybody talking about? Like, it was like October of this year. I was like, what's this cuffing season? And then I heard about it and I was like, I don't like this name. I immediately was like, I don't like this.
I don't think I've ever dated anybody that specifically for cuffing season. I think that like came about because people sort of fall into relationships or maybe like kind of give a green light on a relationship they wouldn't have previously if it was July. But because it's like winter cold months, you might give someone a chance because you just want someone to cuddle with, or you just want some companionship because you want someone to watch movies with and cook with and cuddle with. And
yeah.
And then you know, March comes around, it starts to get warm again, you want to see your friends, and you give them the old boot.
So do you think cuffing season is specifically like a settling time? Like you settle into somebody you normally wouldn't have settled into, and that there's no intention of it being more than that?
I don't think you know that at the time. And this is what I was trying to kind of say, is like, I think the term came about from this just sort of happening to people, where they get into something and then summer comes around, they're like, I don't want to be tied down in this relationship. And they, you know, and you break up so you can run off and be free in the summer.
So you think it came from clearly a societal unconscious habit that yes. More and more people were starting to settle down in the fall. And then they were starting to break up in March. And it was truly because like, almost like a bear where there's like, I don't know.
I'm hibernating.
I've been eating a lot more and I've been staying in my cave a lot more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just like,
Did you look up where, I'll look it up, where, like why cuffing season started, or what did you look up about it?
All I know is that it basically said that almost what you said, that it was kind of an unconscious thing that was already happening, and that there's studies that was like, yes, this is like, I don't think, yes, there might be some people that are like, I don't want to be alone for the winter. But for the most part, it's an unconscious wanting to settle down during the slower months, let's say.
Yeah.
I don't think most people are doing it conscious. And then
are like, do you want to be my cuffing season partner?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Or I don't think people are ill intently going into it being like, I'm just going to be with this guy for a couple of months. And then, you know, I don't know how somebody would do it consciously because... I mean, for me, I can't, if I'm not into it, like I can't get past a second date, let alone a couple of months, if I'm not excited or see a future with somebody. Like I can't imagine dating somebody because I want to be with somebody.
People are such a burden to you anyway, that unless like you had a because you're so focused on work, if someone comes into your life and you make an effort with them and want to give them attention, you have to really like them.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you could just get back to your work. But some people don't have that work. They, you know, they do what they do.
That's a good point.
And the companionship, because also cuffing season is also in the middle of the holidays too. It's like, there's all these like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, all of those huge holidays happen at the same time. So it's like, I could see how somebody would be like, they're not the best, but they're fine. And then just date them for a while.
It's so many gifts. I don't want to buy all those gifts.
So well, that's also pressure. Why some people break up. Because it's like, I better break up with them before Christmas. Because know what I've realized is like giving somebody a gift. It's also, if you want to break up with someone, like say, you know, you want to break up with someone, but you just haven't done it yet. Maybe you feel guilty breaking up with them before Christmas or whatever. It feels like such a lie to give somebody a gift who you don't want to be with anymore. You know what I mean?
I like struggled with that though. Like really? I have so much guilt. I remember this so clearly. I think I was 21. It was probably like early in our friendship. I don't know if I was even friends with you yet. I was dating this guy. I knew pretty quickly that I just didn't like him, or like it just wasn't working out, but I just like didn't know how to break up with him. And I already bought him a birthday gift. This is gonna make you laugh. I already bought him a birthday gift and I was really excited about the birthday gift. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna give him his birthday gift. It's not nice to break up with somebody on their birthday. And then I'll wait like a week and then I'll break up with him. But then he was like nice to me, but like he was like nice enough. Like that's the thing, is that like there wasn't a real connection and I just felt like he was like over here and I did like him, but I was like, what am I doing with this guy? And I didn't know how to break up with him. So I give him his gift. And then I guess maybe it's a month later and I'm still trying to figure out how to break up with him. And it's Christmas. And I bought him again, more gifts. I don't know what I was thinking. I bought him more gifts and it was like really thoughtful gifts. And he got me a Barnes & Noble gift card for $20.
Oh, shit.
And I literally, I couldn't even hide it. Like he handed it to me and I think I shut down because I was like, why didn't I break up with him a month ago? And da, 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 da. And like, he broke up with me, I think 2 days later.
Wow.
So he ended up breaking up with me and I was been trying to figure out how to break up with him.
Oh my God. That's so funny. And he got you a gift card. Cause that's the thing about gifts. It's like, you're lying. If you get somebody something and you want to break up with them and you get them something thoughtful, it's a huge lie and misleading. And so a lot of people do this and they get a gift card. That's fine. And so if you get a gift card, worry about your relationship.
But it was so funny though, because I'm such a gift giver. Like that's almost half the reason I don't like Christmas is like it. I love giving really thoughtful gifts, but when I have to get thoughtful gifts for like 10 people, cause I'm one of five kids and like, it's just and then I have friends and it's just like, it puts so much pressure on me that it takes the fun out of gift giving. And I just hate it. That's why I've always liked birthdays. So in general, I don't know how to give a shitty gift and I don't like giving shitty gifts. So I gave him a really thoughtful birthday gift, even though I didn't want to be with him anymore. And I give him really thoughtful Christmas gifts. And then he gives me a gift card. And I'm like, it was almost like, this fucker doesn't want to be with me either.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? And I remember being really upset that he broke up with me because A, that's just rejection and that didn't feel good. But the next feeling was, fuck, he got to break up with me. Like it was so like, at first it was like my feelings are hurt. And then I was like, cause you couldn't figure out how to break up with him. Now you're the person that got broken up with. And then I remember he wanted to get coffee like 2 weeks later and I felt amazing. Like it was the first like time that I realized I was depressed the whole time I was dating somebody and that I shouldn't have been with that person because like the relief of the breakup, I felt incredible. Yeah. I remember, and I couldn't stand him. I don't know if I remember ever telling this. I can't remember because I was 21 and I can't remember when we met, but I'm not joking. He wanted to get coffee. I don't know how to say no at this point in my life. So I'm like, sure, let's get coffee. And he was so fucking annoying. And just I was like, oh yeah, I hated this guy. And I remember then after that coffee, realizing how much happier I was without him. And it was such an epiphany for me that it was one of the first times that I realized that I need to be careful about who I get involved with because I don't know how to say no. Like that's half the reason I keep people away. I was like, I'm too nice. I don't know how to say no when I'm in something and I don't know how to end it. I know how to break up now, even though it's still very hard. But like, I remember so clearly being like, I'm going to be more reserved about who I get involved with because I don't like being the bad guy and I don't know how to say no. And also being aware that if I'm unhappy, the other person is possibly also unhappy. And that needs to be either communicated with or it needs to not be a relationship. But that's a real repressed memory.
Wow. happy to dig that up.
Yeah.
Johnny got me like a really thoughtful out of print book. I love New York in like the 70s and 80s, and it was like a photography book, and it's out of print. And he wrote a story and put that in the book. And he said that it was a follow-up to the story that he wrote me for my birthday that he put in another book. And I fucking bawled because it was so, so fucking sweet and thoughtful. And he went first. And I had bought him a didgeridoo.
How'd that go down?
He thought at first, he was like, well, when I saw it, when you brought it, I thought it was a roll of gift wrap, because that's what it looks like, because they're really long.
Yeah.
As tall as me. So he's opening it, and he's just like, he didn't know what it was, and he had to like look at the tag at the end, and he read it, and he's just, he had this look on his face that was like pure, it was like excitement, but what the fuck? Like, it was so perfect. I saw it. I was just, you know, when you get in your rabbit holes of shopping, I don't know how I ended up on didgeridoos, but I saw it and I thought, Johnny needs this.
So I looked up cuffing season because I wanted to make sure I actually knew what it meant. And then it opened up like Pandora's box of all the different types of phrases associated with dating. And I want to kind of read a couple of, I think it's going to be weirdly triggering because I think some of these things have happened to us. It always feels like something a dude's done. Not to say that women can't be emotionally fucked up and do fucked up things, but clearly all we have is our experiences and the experiences our friends share. But cuffing has led to other terminology of habits people do either consciously or unconsciously, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so one that I found, some of these I've heard of. Like, okay, we know ghosting. Like, everybody kind of knows ghosting, which is that you're clearly dating or communicating with somebody and then they just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And then the follow-up to that is zombieing, which is when somebody that has ghosted you comes back like nothing has ever happened.
That's so funny.
that one made me laugh because you're just like, oh, I just got zombied. And they're just like, you remember Brad? He's back.
He's back.
For 3 months later.
You're like, what?
Pretending like he didn't disappear for 3 months. Then there's mosting. That's when somebody like love bombs you. They're just like, you're the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I can't imagine my life without you. And then they just disappear. So they're like, it's not even just like casual dating and they disappear. It's like they really built you up to think that this was like the ultimate thing, and then you just never hear from them again.
Isn't that like, that was when I was talking about seductive narcissism too.
Yes. Sort
of the same thing, because they build you up and then you go, oh my God, I love you so much. And then they go, that's what I wanted. Bye.
Bye. I'm going to go find that somewhere else. I'd never heard this term before. Cookie jarring.
Okay.
You pursue a relationship to have as a backup plan or a security blanket with no real intention of it being a long-term relationship.
Oh, wow. So I don't know if that's rude.
It's so rude. I don't know if that's like a cheating term. Like if I was in a relationship and then I'm like talking to somebody on the side, but I never actually do anything because I just want to make sure that if things fall apart with my relationship. So I don't know if that's like a cheating term or if it's somebody that's constantly connecting with people, but they don't do anything. They just want to know that they can.
Where does the cookie jar part come into? Like, why is it called cookie jarring? Cause it feels like, right. Like what's the phrase with cookie jar? It's like kid caught like with their hand in the cookie jar.
Cookie jar. Oh, if it's that sense, then it definitely feels like cheating.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like a cheating term. There's kitten fishing, which I only looked at because I just like the name. Kitten fishing is hilarious. This is when you misrepresent yourself on an online profile. So you have like little white lies of like how tall you are, your age, your interest to hook a partner. So I'm assuming it's like cat. So a catfish. Oh, now I get it. A catfish is when it's like, I'm a man. I'm an 80-year-old man talking to like a 15-year-old boy pretending to be a 15-year-old girl. That's catfishing. Kitten fishing is like, I also love to hike, but I don't leave the house.
Everybody on dating apps is kitten fishing then.
Yeah, I think there's always some form of kitten fishing. I see.
Like,
how tall?
Like, I'm 4'11".
Yeah.
And even then, it's like, are you? But on dating apps, I don't think I said that. I think I said it. I either didn't answer the question or I said I was like 5 or 5'1". I don't think I would say 5'1". That's such a lie. But I would probably say 5.
Yeah, 5'1" is a lie because I'm barely 5'1". So.
All right, chill out. Like, you know what? A little bit of heels and I'd be taller than you. So.
Well, I remember when I first met you, you were the person that put me onto the inserts.
Yeah.
And I remember you took your shoes off at my apartment. And I was like, first of all, you took your shoes off in my apartment and you dropped like a foot. Like, you were just like, and yeah. I was like, what? But then you showed them to me and I was like, I didn't know you could hide heels. Like, I guess that's what a wedge is in some sense, but it was like in the shoe. And I was like, oh, and I was the one that was like, are you waitressing all day in those? And you're like, yeah. And I'm like,
yeah, I really fucked up my ankles on those things. My ankles are so weak that I'll just be walking along and then I'll just tumble. Like, they just go out on me. It's so embarrassing.
It's from all those wedging. Okay, there's a couple more that I want to read to you.
Okay.
Benching, I feel like I've heard of. Benching is like you keep somebody around enough, but you don't actually commit to them. So it, like, I'm assuming it's a sports analogy where, you know, you're on the team, but you never actually get to play.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've been benched before. I would assume that's the same
as cookie jarring. Doesn't it feel like it?
Oh, I thought I was going to say, I thought like it would be the term like friend zoning.
Yeah, but you're probably still sleeping with them. You're just fully committing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So yeah, some of these might have some layovers. There's breadcrumbing, which I've definitely heard, which is like you're very kind of flirtatious and you show signs of being somewhat wanting to be a romantic partner, but you just like make no effort whatsoever.
Yeah, you
do the bare minimum.
You do just enough to keep them hanging on. So you leave a little breadcrumb for them to be like, they're not dead. And they're waiting for whatever breadcrumbs you can give them.
Yeah. And they're always in like starvation mode.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they need that from you. And then you give them just the tiniest bit of hope to hang on to, just the tiniest bit of attention. And they go, okay, that'll sustain me until I'm about to die again. And then it's just over that over and over and over again.
Yeah. And you can't figure out why. Because they do enough that you feel like, well, they did return my text messages and they did come to this thing. But it's like, you can't figure out mentally why you're unhappy or why you don't feel connected with that person because you've justified. It's a lot of it has to do with how low you put your expectations.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think I've been a victim of breadcrumbing because I had such low self-esteem and then I had such low expectations without even realizing how low my expectations were. And that's where, like, when you get healthier and you have more kind of self-awareness and you're just like, man, I didn't even, like, I had the bare minimum and they did just below the bare minimum and I still accepted it.
Yeah. Oh, I think there's something really, there's a lot of correlation between like how you treat what you think you deserve and what, like, you always find that perfect match. If you have no self-esteem and if you accept that little, you'll always find someone willing to do exactly that for you.
Yes, 100%. Like, what's a good example? You know how like they say that women, like the reason women make less money is because we don't ask for raises or we don't even assume that we're making less money. We're just like, I assume everybody's making less money. Mm-hmm. And then you don't stick up for yourself or whatever. It becomes like this whole kind of thing where it's just like your expectations were already low. Then you assumed that this is what you deserve. And it just becomes so, like, all these kind of things start to layer so much that you find out that your coworker makes like $100,000 more than you. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, and you're just like, I thought I can't explain it well enough, but it's a couple of things that layer itself to the point.
I've definitely been in those relationships where I settle for less because it's not like a full on relationship. Like, say I'm starting to date somebody and they say, I'm not really ready for anything right now. Just so you know, had a really serious 7-year relationship with someone and that's just where my head's at. And I go, cool, whatever. Here I am thinking I'm trying to respect that boundary. So
yeah,
we hang out sometimes and whatever, keep it kind of cash. And then he goes, just so you know, I'm seeing someone kind of seriously now. It's like, what the fuck? For 2 years, I've been like, or however long, you know, like,
yeah.
I've been sitting here respecting your fucking boundaries.
Yeah.
And like being like, Okay. So, you know, he calls maybe like once a week or once every couple weeks, and that's fine. And I won't put a lot of stake in this right now, but I do want to get to know him, and like, you know, we'll get to know each other slowly, and no pressure, no pressure. And we'll be, you know, we'll see where it goes. And then they're like, I'm dating someone. And you're just like, I was taking it slow.
yeah. I was listening to the rules that were set in place and I was following them. No, but that's where I've kind of learned that, like, you can respect boundaries, but you also have to respect your own boundaries. Like, I think I spent most of my relationships not listening to my own boundaries. And if somebody, like, that's been the best thing that I've learned in the last, I guess, like 5 years, is somebody goes, hey, I'm not really looking for a relationship. And I go, that's totally fine. I am, though. So I'm going to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to make you feel like you can go not want to be in a relationship, but go do that with somebody else that is fine with that. I am not fine with that. I'm going
to
move along.
But I think that that's like a really mature thing to do that I don't think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people go, yeah, sure. Like, I was doing my own joke. You know my joke about the alligator? Like,
yes.
About how, like, you know, like we're down in the water waiting for our prey. And it's like, no, you can get close. It's okay. I'm not going to expect anything from you. It's fine. And then it's like, no. I just want to have sex too. You know? And then like, that's exactly what I was doing when I was just like, hey, it's fine. You know, if you're not ready for a relationship, I get it. Take it slow. Or I have no expectations. Let's just get to know each other. That's a lie. You know, it's a lie.
Yes. But you know, I think two things changed for me. First one is to believe I'm not special. Because I think women innately believe, which is in some ways good, in some ways bad, but I think women believe, well, like, you were not looking at a relationship until you found me. You're not looking, but I'm going to change you. So it's, so I think the first thing is I stopped believing I was special. And I know that could seem like a put down, but if you really pull that apart and write and pull that up, what I'm really trying to say is I don't believe that this situation and who I am can change what somebody has already decided. And then you pull it back one more layer. And the other thing I realized is I cannot change people. And the reason they might not want to be in a relationship either has to do with pain from a previous relationship, or it has to do with pain from their childhood or their life or whatever. And so I'm not special in the sense that I cannot change what somebody wants, but I'm also not special in the sense that I cannot heal their trauma. And don't get me wrong, I still fuck up and da da da. But if in the beginning that is now what people are saying, I've gotten much better at listening. It still takes me a while. I think we all think people say that because they're scared and that you'll show that you're so loving and blah, 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 that they won't be scared. But I think more and more now it's, oh, you don't want that? I'm out. Yeah. I'm not going to fight you. I mean,
you've learned that lesson the hard way a few times, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 100% I've learned that lesson. And I'm also learning that the first part of I'm not special was easier to learn. I think the helping people heal is the hardest part. Like, I think that, cause like I see the good in everybody and I don't think I'm ever going to date somebody that hasn't been hurt or been broken or what have you, because I think that's still a part of me, but they have to do some growth on their own. And yes. I've worked so hard to heal and I'm still healing and I'm still working on stuff. And I think that's the biggest mismatch, is that people think, well, I'm awesome and they're awesome and we're going to find out how awesome we are. Yeah. Two people can be awesome and also not be able to take care of each other. And I think that final thing is like, I shouldn't have to take care of somebody that isn't taking care of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think when somebody says, I'm not ready for a relationship, it could outwardly be, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. So right there, it's, you're not special. And you have to, and it hurts, but you have to acknowledge that. So I think automatically I go, I'm not special. I'm not going to acknowledge this. But then the second half of it, if it isn't about you personally, it's about them personally. And also pulling away, because you can't fix people and that's their journey. And if they're not going to do that, you're just going to, so it's like, I learn it over and over again. And I chipped away and I've gotten better each time. God, I hope I get it down the next time. But I've gotten better at walking away sooner, as soon as some dude says that. And I think it's the best lesson everybody can learn, is you're not special. Walk away. Oh, there's a couple of other ones. There's soft ghosting, which is responding to a text with like a heart thing, but never giving a genuine response.
That's so fucked. Love, fuck off.
Yeah. You're just, like, I love when like you get a response and they're like, that to me is like a form of text breadcrumbing where you're like, I responded. You're like, dude, I told you about my day and you did a heart. Go fuck yourself. So because they have all these, you know, somebody made these things up, these like ghostings and cookie jarrings and stuff. I made up a few of my own. You have a few of your own. Do you want to close this out?
Yeah, but you make it sound like we had like a week to write these. You told me you wrote some like right before we started recording. So these are what I came up with. You go first.
No, we both just came up with these.
Okay.
Being aggressive. You're being so aggressive right now.
Really?
Joking. Okay. Okay. Do you want to go tit for tat?
Yeah.
Okay. My first one is called the U.S. Postal Service. It's a callback. You say you'll be there in 2 to 3 days and you never show up. The U.S. Postal Service.
Damn, you got them, girl.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Seinfelding, you've seen it all before, but there's nothing else, so you go for it anyway.
Perfect. Perfect. You're just like, I could literally do this word for word, but whatever. We're just going to go into
exactly.
it. As he's saying, I love you, you're saying it, mouthing it. Like, I love you. And you're like, okay, cheap lipstick, really aggressive up front, and then you just slowly fade away. These are all different forms of ghosting, I can tell.
Cheap lipsticking. I love it. Pancaking, your first attempt was weird, but you get it going after that.
I think that was my favorite. You're just like, you know, we're getting to know each other. We're doing the best we can. The oven's not, you know, the stove isn't hot yet. Avocado, to be avocadoed is, he's not ready for a relationship, but when he is, you've moved on.
When he finally is.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I want to come up with one real quick, like pineappling. Like it's a real prick, but
that's it.
Yeah.
You just get really bitter at the end. Okay. And this is my last one. I'm excited about this one. Santa Clausing. When you believe in him, but no one else does.
I love that.
And those are our made up, dating scenarios.
Send us yours.
Yeah, no, we kind of do.
My call to action. Send us yours.
Yeah. You can write to us at 2 Non-Doctors. Yeah, I would love to hear about like if you accidentally got into like cuffing season. If you have any made up dating, what would you call these?
I don't know. What were they called when you read some of them?
They didn't have like a title. I just like
dating lingo terms.
Dating terms. If you have any made up dating terms, we'd love to hear them.
There was one yesterday on a show called, I'm sorry, it was called like Zosting, which was, no, Zumping, when you dump someone over Zoom.
Oh my God. That one came out of 2020. What a horrible thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we appreciate you. Thank you so much. Write in. We'll see you next week.
Bye.